Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I'm with the 2002 Daily Herald, Utah County. Name of the year, Tosh McIntosh. Tosh, BYU lost their the most important person in the history of their athletic program. Lavelle Edwards has passed away after a tremendous life. We've heard tons and tons of tributes about Lavelle Edwards, but Tosh, he was in your ward.
Yeah.
You got to know him a little.
Yeah, for the last 6 years, me and Lavelle, I would even say we're friends. Like, talk to him pretty much every week.
You dangled having Lavelle on CougarCast over me for years. But I'm kind of glad we never did it.
He had his own radio show, and I just kind of didn't want to bug him and stuff, you know? but yeah, Lavelle, if I would have asked him, he would have said yes. That's kind of why I didn't, too. I just thought, I had a great relationship with him, and I just didn't want to change it to that, you know. But either way, Lavelle definitely changed.
You didn't want to use that. Yeah, you didn't want to use your friendship with him to try to leverage it or whatever. Yeah, no, I appreciate that, and that's absolutely fine. But you know, Tosh, I had to tell you the other night I went to the Santa Clara game in the Marriott Center. I took my two daughters, I took my wife, and on our way there, we were driving, and the lights were on the stadium, and I didn't see it first. My wife saw it first. We were in the car, and my wife asked me, "Why are the lights on at the stadium?" And I looked up, and I saw it, and, like, I didn't answer. I got, like, choked up a little bit, Tosh. Like, I felt in that moment, like, oh, like, you know, I felt this, like, reverence for the man that we lost, and I felt that.
It was a great gesture by BYU.
It was. And so we went and parked, and then I ended up, she figured it out. My wife's pretty smart. She figured it out. But, I thought that all of that was put together was really, you know, impressive, and what a life this guy had. So we want to just take a second to talk about him a little bit. Tosh, I put together something about him on the football side, and since you knew him personally, we'll let you talk about him on the personal side. But I don't think that people in these parts understand. Like, we've had a good football team for so long. In fact, the entirety of both of our lives, we've always been good.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, like,
off year here and there.
Off year here and there, but we've always had
winning seasons.
A really good team. And I don't think people appreciate maybe how difficult that is to do. And maybe one of the best legacies of Lavelle Edwards is that it just kind of kept going. Like, Gary Croton struggled a little bit. But ultimately, and it's to the credit of Bronco Mendenhall and Kalani Sitake, these guys are talented in their own right. But these Bronco, Kalani, these guys they didn't have to climb the mountain that Lavelle Edwards climbed. Before Lavelle took the job as head coach at BYU in 1972, BYU had a football program that was absolutely rotten, okay? They had an overall record of 174 and 235 with 23 ties. Their opposition in those early seasons of the program was less than starry in the college football ranks, and yet BYU was winning 40.3% of their games against this poor competition. They only had one conference championship to claim as their own in all those years before Lavelle Edwards. Why was BYU so hapless in football? In 1972, people had countless reasons to account for the sorry state of the gridiron in Provo. And any of them could have been well argued and defended, Tosh. 50 years of playing 4-6 football makes an easy case of arguing institutional ineptitude. And, you know, some of those reasons might even sound a little familiar today. But BYU couldn't win football games, according to the people back then, because they were a church school that encouraged players to serve missions, Returned missionaries couldn't possibly play great football because they teach of love and compassion and are changed by it. And football is a venue for violence and aggression. BYU couldn't get any good recruits. Look at where Provo is. How on earth could you draw anyone from Texas or California to play in the desert mountains? So you have to just recruit the local kids. And let's face it, there aren't many good players in Utah. Plus, there are three Division I schools in the state that are trying to get the few good players that there are. And on top of all that, there's a restrictive honor code that is an unrealistic expectations if you want to bring in the kind of athlete that helps you win college football games. In the face of all these obstacles, Lavelle Edwards explained his strategy. Rather than worry about what we couldn't do, I set out to concentrate on what we could. End of quote. What could Edwards do? Win. Win so much that the laundry list of claims that explained the struggles of BYU football before he took over were now used as claims as unfair advantages. They're the reason they started winning football games. Missions made for more physically and mentally mature athletes suddenly. That's the Lavelle effect. Every local LDS kid is, of course, going to just play at BYU because they're going to get all of the best kids from the state. Even the honor code started to get some credit for even non-LDS kids choosing to play in the shadow of the Wasatch. How much winning did Lavelle do? He did so much that he absolutely flipped all the reasons that BYU couldn't win for the 50 years before he took over. They all became the reasons that they did win. Rather than worry about what we couldn't do, I set out to concentrate on what we could. The unlikeliness of the turnaround that he did in Provo with that football team is absolutely amazing. And I think sometimes we forget because we have no frame of reference about how bad it was before he took over, Tosh.
It is wild that that he turned this small school, a decent-sized school, but in Provo, this random obscure school in Provo, and really put it on the football map. In any way that you define the football map, Edwards got it on there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other bit is he had to overcome, you know, it's not like BYU. He didn't always have a Tom Holmoe-type athletic director backing him up the whole time. He used to have to fight in recruiting at times, Tosh, where he'd be recruiting and he'd have to recruit against the notion that BYU was going to drop its football program. And like that was actually a legitimate thing that he had to fight against during his early years. All Lavelle did is he just went out. He did amazing things. I wanted to quote a little bit Matt Brown from SBNation.com. He wrote the eulogy for Lavelle Edwards on SB Nation, and I thought he did a tremendous job. He said the accomplishments of Lavelle Edwards are, this is quoting him, impressive accomplishments anywhere, even at a resource-heavy elite recruiting school like Ohio State or USC. Think about that for a second. Like, had he just been at Ohio State and won 257 games, like, everyone would be like, wow, he's an amazing coach. Like, he did it at BYU. That he was able to do what he did at a place so isolated from major media markets, with athletes leaving to pursue church service without running afoul of the NCAA, not a single time, and doing it over multiple decades is simply astonishing. He finishes, he also says, he got a quote from Coach Mum. He was an early assistant underneath Lavelle Edwards. And the quote from Mum says, this was given to Matt, said, I had a guy tell me one time that when we first started that he never turned off a BYU game. He had no connection to BYU or even the state of Utah, but if BYU was playing on TV, he was going to watch the game. That always kind of struck a chord with me because that's a way to get everyone excited about your football program. The fans, the players, the people who needed to get excited about your program. He adds, you didn't need to be a Mormon or a Utah resident to appreciate the relentless fun of throwing the ball all over the field. Sure, it worked, but it was also fun. And to build a strong program out of nothing, sometimes you need to be fun. There have been a few other dramatic rebuilding jobs in recent history, but perhaps nobody was able to accomplish as much with less with more flair than Lavelle Edwards. And I thought that, I think that that's amazing. And I've talked to you about that several times, that just watching Lavelle growing up with it, it was so much fun.
And that he really reached people that, like you just said, that were not in the Mormon even sphere of things. I remember in 2006, I was doing door-to-door summer sales in Oklahoma, selling Dish Network and DirecTV. I knock into this big black guy with dreads and tats and wearing, you know, what people call a wife beater. He answers the door and he immediately starts wanting to talk sports channels with me. And so just in kind of small talk with him, I say, oh, who's your team? And he says, BYU's my team.
Hey.
And I'm like, no way. Like, that's where I go, man. Like, and he's like, and he was excited about that. And I said, what, like, you living in the middle of Oklahoma? He was really from like inner city Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, yeah, just growing up, he's like, they were the most fun football I've ever seen. He's like, ever since a little kid, I've just been a big BYU fan. And that's the kind of the style of game and the level of awesomeness that Lavelle got BYU to.
Well, I mean, think about it in this way, right? Like, Gifford Nielsen was the first guy to go for 3,000 yards in a season. I think BYU was the second school to get a 3,000-yard passer in a season, right? But then we had 2, 3, 4, and I believe we had a fifth passer reach the 3,000-yard mark before anybody, any other school, had a second. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And we had the first 4,000-yard passer, the first 5,000-yard passer. Like, the pass at the time was seen as like an underdog tactic or whatever, but like, as Lavelle got better and better players to come in, it didn't matter. Like, they just continued to wing it, man.
This sounds like an overstatement, but he quite literally changed the game of football, or at least got it to where it is faster. I think it was always going to become this passing game. That was just its evolution. But without a doubt, he accelerated that progression to where we are now.
And the other bit is, you know, you give him a lot of people were trying to take credit for Lavelle Edwards and all the passing that BYU did. And it didn't matter. These guys would go to other schools and BYU would just keep passing. And the other bit is, you know, a lot of times now when there's high powered offenses, it's about the system. But he was also an amazing talent evaluator.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, all these quarterback U, it's like all those guys weren't system quarterbacks. You know, no. Wilson was an NFL player. And so, I mean, all of those guys, and Gift Nielsen and
but he was
and
also
McMahon
a great
and Young and
talent
all of them.
Developer. I mean, a lot of that was he would hire great assistant coaches, but him and his assistant coaches.
And I mean, his tree for the coaching tree is unbelievable.
Like Steve Young was an option quarterback in high school. Like, and he came and just turned, you know, really, Coach Edwards in so many different regards dominated the profession of coaching.
Yeah, I mean, he's unbelievable. And I think, you know, I think he's beyond that, just his personality and the way that he fit, you know, he loved that they kind of got, he used to be so deadpan, but he also loved kind of being that underdog and being in that position. Like, here's a quote from an article from 1996, okay? This is when they were really good, and the Bowl Alliance was a thing at that time, and they were maybe going to get left out, right? He got asked the question, okay? Somebody asked Lavelle Edwards the question, okay, they were 9-0 and should be, sorry, this is from 1984. They're 9-0, they're in everybody's top five, okay? And he gets asked the question, should we take BYU seriously? I mean, are your Cougars, are they honestly, any good? Lavelle responds, quote, gosh, I don't know. Maybe we're on the verge of being pretty good.
No, yeah.
And
everyone can just imagine the voice that he would say.
Yeah,
that too.
Right. I mean, there's other, yeah. I mean, he got asked, how do you win football games? And he says, well, the way for us to compete at BYU is to to play sound defense and then pass the other team dizzy. That's awesome. He's awesome. Anyway, listen, there's a lot of quotes that we have here, but the point is Edwards as a coach, what he performed, I mean, it was a miracle, and man, it was fun, and the flair that he had, and it's fun to associate flair with him. It's a different kind of flair. Because he wasn't dramatic on the sidelines. He wasn't none of that. But, man, he was committed to playing a fun style of football.
Yeah. So I've got this tribute that I actually wrote, you know, for my social media page. It wasn't for this show, but I thought better than saying anything, I thought I'd just read this. And some of this is about me, but it's going to all kind of tie in. So it's titled My Tribute to My Sports Icon, Neighbor, and Friend.
Sure.
And so I start from as far back as I can remember, I've always been a BYU fan. I remember having fun smack talk with Ute fans in the days leading up to and after rivalry games when I was a little punk kid. I mean, in the youngest ages of elementary, growing up in Salt Lake County. I was a sports-obsessed kid, and BYU was definitely the pinnacle of my obsession. My favorite song for a big portion of my elementary years was the Tisman Rap.
Oh, is he Polynesian?
Exactly. And another great line is, you know, when Lavelle thought Pee Wee Herman came to play, yeah, referring to Ty Detmer. I can give Lavelle a ton of credit for making most of those rivalry smack talk weeks fun weeks for me. That we need to get back to that for my kids again. But I watched every single game of many seasons growing up. Even if I had to take a portable TV because my family was going to be away from home, I did not want to miss a game. And he was a big reason because of that. I went to the final game that he coached at Utah in a very tough environment, and that we were 4-6 a couple weeks earlier. We win our last game at home, then we're 5-6 going to Utah. We're down early, we're down late, and really had a fantastic ending with Doman had some fourth down, deep throw to Pittman, another bomb to Pittman, and that drive is etched in my memory forever, and him being carried off the field still makes my eye allergies flare up. It was an awesome moment and such a classic ending to his great career. I could reference things about my BYU fandom all day, but anyone listening to this show knows I don't need to prove that. But let's fast forward to me as a high schooler. I was the kid who enjoyed seminary when I'd go, but I would miss more often than I should have, especially when I made the mistake of making seminary the first class of my schedule. That sleeping in one more often than it should have when it was just missing the class that didn't affect my GPA, which was the wrong attitude, but it's the one that I had at the time. But then one day, to my surprise, Lehigh's seminary announced they were having Lavelle Edwards do a special fireside for the seminary students. The big catch for me was it was like at 5 or 6 a.m., but I remember not even batting an eye, waking up on a cold winter morning, defrosting my windshield at times that I had not seen in years, driving to the chapel next to the high school and listening to one of my icons speak. And it was awesome. I attended bright-eyed and, sure, and smile on my face. And he gave, I just loved it. It was about 50% football talk,
yeah,
about 50% spiritual life lessons.
That's the way
how he was.
Yeah, well,
football was such a part of his life that it was intertwined with all parts of his
life. But it was also the thing that it was the capital that made him interesting. Right. I mean, that's why people were there. So you got to give him some of that too.
Yeah. And so, yeah, anyway, loved it. So let's fast forward another 10 years. I buy a home in Provo, go to church on Sunday. And I laugh. I even go to church if it's in the morning now. I've changed a little bit. But guess who walks up and shakes my hand? Lavelle Edwards. He approaches me, and his words to me are, "Hey, I heard you're moving in. My name's Lavelle Edwards.
Yeah, that's
great
awesome
to meet you. Welcome to the ward."
That's amazing.
And I just remember thinking in my head, like, of course I know who you are.
I heard a rumor, Tosh. This is actually David Locke put this on his Twitter timeline.
Yeah.
That you would call Lavelle's house and it was Lavelle on the voicemail. He'd say, "Oh, you've reached the Edwards home."
It's probably true. I don't remember hearing that, but I believe it. He was as humble as they come.
Right.
And that was my first impression when I talked to him. And I just acted like everything was normal and that he was a normal neighbor. I didn't want to be that fanboy, even though that's where my thoughts were. But then from being really in the same ward and neighborhood with him for the last 6 years has been awesome, and I've seen a lot of sides of him in cool capacities. We taught young men's together for a while.
Wow.
Him and Patty were my Sunday school teachers on a marriage and family. And I got some amazing, funny anecdotes from that are probably not appropriate for podcasts, but he gave some of the funniest one-liners of him dating Patty and some of their fights when they first got married that are awesome. They are awesome people, both very funny, both spiritually strong, just incredible people. More than anything, he just became a friend that each Sunday he would go out of his way to talk to me. I, of course, always liked talking to him, and he was down to earth, had great conversations. One funny story.
As a young men's teacher, think about that for a second.
Oh yeah.
Having him be your young men's instructor. Did he have a favorite? Was there a Book of Mormon story or something like that that stood out to him?
So the story that sticks out to me is I remember him talking about giving a lesson on Word of Wisdom. And him going through and talking about different players that he saw with great capacity, and that some didn't live up to their expectations, and that some did because of Word of. And I just remember thinking, like, I was in my dream.
Did he specifically like call out players' names?
No.
Yeah, that's not him.
That's not his style.
Yeah.
But he related things to football, and it was all. He was very grounded. Any one of our listeners, I would say, would have been with me, and that it was just amazing sitting in there hearing him teach the gospel with BYU football is a lot of his stories. Here's a funny story. Right when we move in, I mean, we've been in a few months, but my wife and my son go for a walk, and my wife is about as sports ignorant as possible, and I tease her about that, and it's true. She doesn't deny that. When my wife and son were passing the Edwards home, Patty stops her and says, "Hey," my wife's name is Maggie, and she says, "Maggie, I noticed it was your birthday. I actually have a birthday card for you. Let me go grab that."
That's nice.
Super nice. As they're walking to the Edwards home, my wife sees that they've got this carved wooden cougar on the front of the house. Mm. My wife, making small talk, says, "Oh, are you guys cougar fans?" And Patty just looks at her for a little bit. I'm assuming to see if she was serious.
Sure.
And just Patty says, yeah, we're Cougar fans. And then that was the end of that. My wife came home and then opened the card. And then it said Patty and Lavelle Edwards. And then I'm like, you got a birthday card from Lavelle Edwards? And then she realized who really gave her that. And then how dumb her comment of, are you guys Cougar fans? And that still makes me laugh.
That's awesome.
It really, Lavelle was a great man. And what I learned is a very normal man. And that doesn't take away anything from his greatness. But
sure.
He was a humble, normal, great man who achieved great things. He was a football legend to me. And a guy who became a friend and that I really appreciated, would go out of his way each week that he saw me to come and talk to me and be a friend. I definitely have sadness at his passing, but one thing that I've thought about is that he achieved so much in his 86 years, in so many different aspects of his life, that he truly lived a great, great life and a great 86 years. And he influenced me from a punk kid to the guy that I am now in so many different ways, but it's not just me. He influenced thousands, if not millions, of people in different ways. And a couple other just one-liner, little short Lavelle things. When he was the high school coach at Granite, he served on a bishopric with my great uncle, which another kind of cool thing.
How about that?
He would give his reactions to me after big games.
I like that you said under your great uncle.
Well, with. I don't know if it was under or with.
He used to get bossed around by your great uncle.
Exactly.
Wear that badge.
I think he taught him the forward pass. Okay. he would come and talk to me after games about his thoughts. I mean, he would never criticize the coaches ever. But he would definitely...
Well, he knows how hard it is.
He would voice his opinion and give some great stuff.
Give me one. Come on. Give me one that stands out to you. Like, after a game,
so
he had
Boise
this take
State,
and you remember
after Boise,
it. This year.
No. After Boise State, when we went for it for two.
Okay.
and that he was just giving me his thoughts on it of, man, that was, it took a lot of courage to make that call.
Right.
And that he said, you know, you like our, that our defense was our best thing, and you like to have your defense on the field to give you a chance to win, which overtime would have done. But then he said, but I also see, you know, when you're at, when you're away and you've got the hot hand, that, you know, sometimes you don't just go for it. And so he wasn't critical, brought up some other points, but just really, I just remember thinking this guy's football mind was still very, very sharp all the way to the end. And that, I guess the final thing was that I, with a guy that had a freaking football stadium named after him just down the road from where I lived, I never got a prideful vibe from him at all. And that was one of the things that I respect the most. And so, yeah, I am sad that Lavelle's gone. But, yeah, till we meet again with a guy that became, has always been an icon and a legend to me, but to a guy that became my friend.
Thanks for sharing some of that with us, Tosh. That's, I think people will like that. So, all right, well, that's it. We had to talk about Lavelle Edwards, and this is our first time getting together after the holidays and all that, and it just happened over the holidays. So, anyway, give our best to Patty when you get a chance. I'm sure she's very busy, but next time you see her at a church or whatever, put your arm around her. From Cougar Cast, from all the listeners or whatever. So, something. I don't know. We're sending it out there. We're putting the nice vibes out vibes there for them. So, anyway, appreciate you listening to the show. That's it for this episode of Cougar Cast. We'll be back with more. And to the Lavelle Edwards, thank you very much. Thank you for listening to Cougar Cast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!